This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Austro-Hungarian Empire ceased to exist following the Great War, except the legacy is significant because of two men, two philosopher economists of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, one Polanyi, born 1886, another Hayek, born 1892, both of whom advanced theories of economic development and state management of the economy. That I learned from Antonio Colubosanu of the Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. These two systems worked in tandem as a duo in the 20th century, especially during the Cold War. And what can we learn from these two systems that is always in evidence when there's trouble? There's trouble in America now because of high inflation, probably trouble starting in the Great Recession of 2008 and the housing collapse that has rippled across America ever since, the low rates that led to a great deal of wealth creation, and now the high rates leading to a lot of unhappiness. And there's trouble in not the Soviet Union, because that doesn't exist. There's trouble in the stepbrother, that would be the Chinese Communist Party, that is now apparently turning away from competition with the U.S. into a surveillance state. But therein lies the puzzle. So, Antonia, I begin by asking you, what do we need to know about this duo from the Austro-Hungarian Empire? I'm sure Franz Joseph did not know of them, but this is his legacy. Polanyi and Hayek, what are their systems now in the 21st century? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Well, yes, indeed. They are very much important for, they were very much important for our Cold War. And then their models, both that of capitalism that Hayek basically put together in 1944, was basically important for us driving into the globalized world. So in a way, Hayek's system was already the most important system in the world because globalization was kind of pushed by his model. While Polanyi's model, which is the Chinese model, from the Great Transformation, also a book and a model put together in 1944, which is kind of amazing. The two men put together their models in the very same year. But Polanyi's model remained China's model and stayed on not to be a world model because China did not want to impose it on upon anyone else. Unlike the USSR, who used Marxism and its own economic model to impose it over the satellite countries, China did not do any of this. China adapted Polanyi's model to the market capitalism of Hayek. So they were kind of good friends, the two models. Now, currently, even if the two models are having problems, we can say that their problems are beyond their resolve because we have Hayek's model that no longer explains prosperity because of dependencies no longer driving prosperity. And we have Polanyi's, which was pretty much gotten into an autocracy of a control economy, no longer very much synced with the market, but more with control. So these two models are basically saying, one is saying, okay, we have the free markets, we have to use them, but now we cannot really use them to get into a prosperous state because dependencies are causing troubles. And the other one, Polanyi's one, is saying, well, the free markets are not really good, but we need to adapt to the free markets, but having a sort of a management from the leadership, which ultimately got into the leadership having everything under control and not being synced at all with the markets. So we came fast forward in 2022 when both need restructuring because they have no resolution of what to do with the energy crisis, with a supply chain crisis that is basically saying, well, you have the markets, but they are not working. With a system of global economic warfare where control is all you want, but you cannot really exert it because of still kind of dependent countries, even if they are in conflict with one another. I mean, look at aluminum markets and copper markets and whatnot. You cannot just take Russia away from that market. So these two models are basically saying, okay, we are no longer fit for this world. And the question remains, how will they be fit or how will their restructuring be done in order to have good models for moving forward? And this is a question for both the American economy as it struggles with inflation and the Chinese economy as it struggles with multiple problems internally, financial problems, technological problems, and so on, and the global warfare, of course.
I want to generalize and see if I have this correct. Friedrich Hayek, who's known as the author of The Road to Serfdom, he is associated with markets creating the institutions of government, whereas Polanyi, the author of The Great Transformation, is a man who can be associated with command economy, but really is talking about managing economy. That would be evidenced on the instance in the People's Republic of China, we're told, that state-owned enterprises have long been under the control of the center, but private enterprises are now being obliged to make a seat, a chair available to a member of the Communist Party who can watch over and provide advice to the private enterprise. That would be managed care. These two systems are now at odds. Protectionism. All we have to do is mention that. And Xi Jinping is now consolidating power into what here in the United States is convenient for us to call a surveillance state. But if I don't just use the American model, if I use the European model too, which followed Hayek, America and Europe followed the same. Your country, the EU, following Hayek, profoundly troubled by inflation, profoundly troubled by sourcing energy in order to maintain prosperity for the populations and for the politicians to remain in office. So just having established those generalities, is it your measure that the West is self-aware that the Hayekian model is struggling? Is China aware that the Polanyi model is struggling?
Well, China and the West are aware. The problem is the leadership of both of them. So the political leadership is not necessarily aware. They are playing by the socioeconomic challenges. In other words, the systems themselves are aware that something is wrong. And this is why we are seeing the problems. This is why we have inflation. This is why we have unemployment. This is why we have protectionism, because something is wrong with the models. And because the models themselves are trying to adapt to new realities, which are imposed not by someone, but by the business environment. And to this, the politicians are reacting. So in other words, the West is aware, the Western markets are aware, so is the Chinese system, but that does not mean that our political leadership is aware about what is happening or what is triggering and about to happen. That's where we fundamentally have a problem, and that's why we are yet in the crisis mode. Because we don't have a resolution. If the politicians and the political leadership would be aware of the socioeconomic problems and they would have solutions, then these models would be restructured because their inefficiencies would be understood. But they're not.
Xi Jinping is talking about the Global Security Initiative with a surveillance state twist. The U.S. doesn't have one policy, liberty, liberty, liberty. But we're pouring the very best of our arms manufacturing into Ukraine to sustain the conflict against Russia, which is the source of energy. Clearly, I just outlined very quickly complete paradoxes in both instances. So you say they're aware of this. So exogenous events, the pandemic, globalization, the War in Ukraine, the energy shortage, those exogenous events, are they a product of the contradictions and paradox, or are they examples that our systems can't handle surprise, can't handle stress, that we break apart during these periods? Can you tell from, because you look at the world from the Black Sea, I'm going to declare you in between the two worlds. Can you tell at this point, are we reacting to events or did we create these events?
I think in most of the cases that we're seeing, we are reacting. We did not necessarily produce them. No one can say that the pandemic was produced, for instance. However, if we are going back to Ukraine, we knew that this is coming. So in a word, in many ways, we were creating Ukraine. We pretended, for instance, in Europe, we pretended that Russia was not building up a strategy to invade Ukraine and to take control over Kiev. So some problems are problems that, you know, black swan kind of problems, the pandemic. Okay. Even if we knew that sometime we would have a pandemic, we didn't know exactly, you know, when it's coming.
Right.
Others are man-made, system-made. And of that system-made problems, we also had the financial problem that we knew it was going to come. And that was basically the moment that these two models were basically having or started to have adaptation problems, because the markets were not delivering the kind of responses that we were imagining them to deliver on both sides, because the Western economies were thinking, okay, the markets are functioning well. We are fully integrated. There is no way we could have systemic crisis. While China was thinking, okay, we have management over the markets. We are good. There is no way we could have systemic challenges. And yet both systems did have systemic problems. We started in the West in 2008. China came in later in the game, and they are dealing now with a financial problem that is probably as big as the U.S. financial problems back in the 2010s. But both models needed to adapt to something that we human beings, leadership in the business world, the leadership in the political world, knew it was coming. So it's kind of a both sides. We also knew we are reacting, and through reaction, we are not necessarily building up solutions. That's one major inefficiency that we have.
The question first, the solutions sometime in our grandchildren's generation. Antonia Kalabashanu for Geopolitical Futures. Karl Polanyi, Austro-Hungarian Empire, 1886. Friedrich Hayek, Austro-Hungarian Empire, 1892, here in the 21st century. We're going to turn to Romania, the Black Sea Basin, Bucharest next, because we'll come down from 20,000 miles above the Earth to drone size looking at the Earth. And what does this mean for the war in Ukraine come winter? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.